Thank you for being here for the Sunday School Hour. Brother Grimes is down at God's Word Baptist Church again and filling in there. And so continue to pray for Brother Stewart, if you would. He is back into the hospital. I had gotten a text earlier. Well, I don't know if it was this week. It was probably last week. I don't remember. I got a text, and it was from his wife, and she was saying, "He's home." And then it wasn't very long later, I got the same email you did that said he's back in the hospital. So I talked to John Robinson, and he's a pastor in Hillsboro, and he had said that he had stopped in to see him the day before he went back into the hospital, and he said he was surprised at how bad he was, how weak he was, he hasn't been able to do anything, so his body is just kind of, he's lost weight, he's lost muscle mass, he's lost kind of just a whole bunch of things. And you know, Brother Stewart, he was kind of a bigger kind of guy. And so just continue to pray for them, pray for the church there. It's just been a long time of him in and out of the hospital and infections and other infections and them trying to fix things and not getting any better. And so it's got to be discouraging. It's got to be just discouraging. Long ago, I'd have been at wit's end. Like, what are we doing here? But we know the Lord can give grace, and I'm sure that the Lord is giving them grace, both him and his wife, his daughters. I think they're both going to Pensacola Christian College, at PCC, and they both had to go back, so I'm sure they're worried about dad and mom and everything else. So continue to pray for the Stewarts and then God's Word Baptist Church. If you could, continue to pray for them. We're going to have some people filling in September. For some Sundays there, and so I've tapped some of our men and said, "Hey, would you be willing to go down and fill in?" And so we've been able to do most of September for their services, but just continue to pray for that church. And it's just instability, and you're not sure what's going on, and just pray that everyone just sits still and lets the Lord move and work instead of getting worked up. Just because of the uncertainty and everything there. But Philippians chapter number 3 is where we are. In my Sunday school, we're in Philippians. So we'll try to stay here. We won't go into Judges. We won't cross over into anything. We'll just try to stay right here in Philippians and run some references. But book of Philippians chapter number 3. And let's go ahead and start reading in verse number 13. But we're actually down here in verse 15, but let's start reading in verse number 13, Philippians chapter number 3, verse number 13. "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you." All right, so in verse number 15 here, and Paul's talked about in verse number 12, he's talked about he wants to do some things, and he wants to draw closer to the Lord. And we can see that in verse 10 and verse number 11. But in verse number 12, he says, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect." And he goes through and says, "Not that I've reached these things." And then in verse number 15, he says, "Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded." So it appears to be a contradiction until you just kind of look at the scriptures over it. One place he says, "Hey, I haven't attained unto perfection." And then another spot he says, "And those of us that are perfect, let's be thus minded." So what does he mean by those things? Of course, he mentioned it. We're not perfect. Some of us are perfect. Where are we in this? Look in First John chapter number 2. First John chapter number 2. We'll be turning this morning in Sunday school. So First John chapter number 2. And look in verse number 13. First John chapter number 2, verse 13. The Bible says, "I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father." And so here in 1 John 2, we see three different designations. We see little children, We see young men and we see fathers. Now, as we have been talking about for several weeks past, not necessarily this week, but talking about a growth in the Lord and a growing up and a maturing in the Lord. And there is an expectation there. And Paul says, not that I've attained and not that I'm already perfect, but those of us that are perfect, those of us that are in this spot. And when he says that, there's different ways that you can be perfect in the Lord. Of course, you can be sinless. Now, you probably won't do that. All right, so we'll just get that one out of the way. All right, you won't do that. It appears we have the ability to, through the power of the Holy Spirit, after salvation. But you and I won't choose to do that. We won't always choose to do the right thing. We won't always take the way of escape. We won't always do the right thing. So there's perfect. Now, someday we're going to be perfected. All right. Now, that means we won't even have the option to do the wrong thing. I'm looking forward to that day. I'm looking forward to the day where it's not like it's not a decision. It's not a temptation. It's not there. It's when we put on immortality and stand before the Lord. We won't have to think about what we're going to say before we say it, and then we almost say it, but we keep our mouths closed. But it's right there at the tip of our tongue. You know what I mean? Like, it's really close. I mean, the Lord gave us a mind to think about what we're going to say. Then he gave us a tongue to form our words. He gave us teeth to keep things in as much as possible. And then he gave us lips on top of that. And I mean, he gave us a lot of things in the way before we can say the wrong thing. And yet, it's just, it can be skip, 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 out it comes, right? I mean, it's like we didn't even think about it. Nothing even crossed our minds. We just, bloop, out it comes. And then we're like, probably want that back, right? Probably wish I could have that. Why is it often, I don't know about often, but why is it sometimes it comes out of my mouth and then I start thinking about it? I wonder, that probably wasn't the right thing to do. And that's the thing with words, you can't just get those back. You can't gather those back, especially when they go in the ears of the hearer, and then off you go, it's in trouble. But one day when we're perfected and we stand before the Lord, we're going to be able to say whatever freely comes out, because it's not going to be the wrong thing. And it's going to be full of grace, and it's going to be the right thing at the right time. And we're not going to have to worry about all the rest of the temptations. All right, but we're not there, so when we say about being perfect, we don't have to necessarily. Now, we're not perfect. Now, we should attempt to be perfect. All right, that's what we should do. And this is how some people think in this life. Well, I'm never going to be sinless, so I might as well just pile them up. That's what it seems like, right? It seems like, well, I'm not going to be perfect, so what's a few more added on to the pile? That's not the attitude. I mean, to use Paul's terminology, he'd say, God forbid. Right? God forbid. Should we, because of God's grace and God's forgiveness, should we just live and do whatever we want because we know that we can just go to God and ask forgiveness? No, God forbid that we should do that. We should be striving to be more like Christ in this life. What does that mean? That means that the more that we grow in the Lord, the more that we desire to draw close to the Lord, and the more that we go down the road in this thing of living our lives as a Christian, we should be trying, okay, now think before you say it. Would the Lord want me to say this thing? And the Lord will be more than faithful to let you know if he wants you to say it or not. And trust me, as someone who talks for a living, often to large audiences, there's many times preaching the Lord's like, do not say that. And I'm like, I don't know, I really want to say it. And the Lord's like, don't say it. And I'm like, I don't think it's even sinful, Lord. I don't think it. And Brother Johnson's right here looking at me. He needs it. That's what I'm thinking. I'm just kidding. I'm just picking on him. He's right there looking at me. And so, but it's coming, but not everything that goes through our brains needs to be said, right? And some people say, well, it's true. Not everything truthful needs to be said. Some people say, well, it's truthful, so I should say it. I'm just saying the truth. Yes, and we all understand that the truth can hurt our feelings, okay? The truth doesn't always need to be said. The truth, to say the truth, to point out a truth in a hurtful way is not always necessary. And so we should, as we grow in the Lord, we should be thinking, okay, Lord, now I'm about to say this thing. Should I say this thing? And there's many other times, because I talk for a living, it's easy for me to just talk. And sometimes the Lord's like, shh. I'm like, yeah, but I have so much to say. And the Lord's like, no, you don't. Stop talking. Listen more, right? The old adage, we have two of these and one of these. We should listen twice as much as we speak. And it is, we should be trying to walk in the Lord and Him to say, no, don't say that. No, don't do that. No, don't think that. No, don't go there. No, don't do that thing. We should be trying to do that. We should attempt to be perfect for the Lord, but we're not going to attain unto that perfection. Yet, to be perfect means that we can be right where God desires for us to be today. Now, if you've been saved for a number of years and you've had the Word of God and you've been a Bible preaching church, one that exalts the Savior and exalts the Word of God, and you've been saved for a bunch of years, and spiritually you're still little children, then you're not where you need to be. Because there's a growth in the Lord. Look in Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We should be striving. Look in Ephesians 4, look in verse number 11. And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why did He give all of these? For the, verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, 1, for the work of the ministry, 2, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. All right, perfecting of the saints. That's why He's given preachers and teachers and evangelists and those to stand and preach the word. Verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's what we're supposed to be striving for. And so the Lord says here, as Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, these places that God has given and has raised up, these apostles and prophets, and of course, the apostles don't apply in the same manner that they once did. Prophets, we can all prophesy through the truth of Scripture, but not in the same context that they once stood for. And some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. So He's given these offices for what? He's ordained these offices for the perfecting of the saints. What's that mean? You and I should be attempting to be more perfect. We should be striving to do more for the Lord, for the edifying of the body of Christ and for the work of the ministry, till we all come in the unity of the faith. When's that going to happen? Well, the Lord's going to do that. The Lord's going to do that. He's going to finish the work that He started. All right, so that's what He's done. He's put inside of us the Holy Spirit of God once you got saved, and He says, you follow the Spirit. I've given you my Holy Spirit. I've given you my perfect word. I've given you pastors and teachers. I've given you the body of Christ to love one another and to encourage one another and to help one another. Now go and live for me and speak for me and walk with me and fight sin. And I'll give you all the tools. You go and do that. And then one day, by the time the Lord comes back, if you keep striving, we're going to be a bloody mess. Trying to fight against sin and trying to fight against ourselves. And the Lord's going to come back and He's going to perfect us. And then we're going to be judged basically for our attempts to live for Him. That's what's going to happen. What did you do with what I've given you? And how have you lived according to what I've given you? And so eventually we're going to be perfected, but right now, not yet. Colossians chapter number 4. Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, verse number 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, also laboring fervently for you in prayers. Now, what's his prayer? That ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Now, Pastor, you just said we can't be perfect. We won't choose to be perfect. We someday will be perfected. That's correct. But we can be perfect with God at any given moment. We can. He says here, his prayer is that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. In all the will of God. So what's the will of God for your life? Well, it's how God deals with you and how God speaks to you. And through his word and through the preaching of his word, you might have the perfect will of God for your life revealed unto you, or more revealed, more revelation given to you about the perfect will of God. That might happen during the Sunday school hour. That might happen during the preaching service. That might happen tonight when Pastor Aaron gets in the pulpit and preaches tonight what God's given him. You might hear from the Lord and you might understand and learn more about the perfect will of God for your life. And now what do? Well, you either make the change or you don't. But you can be perfect and complete in the will of God for your life right now. Right now. You can be perfect and complete. Say, what's the will of God for your life? Well, in general terms, it's to live in Washington. And it's to pastor this church. I don't know how it all happened. I don't know why it all happened. But the perfect will of God is for me to be here teaching Sunday school this morning, that the church of the Lord's allowed me to be an overseer, to those of you that he's called to be here and be a part of this church and to go forward for the cause of Christ. So that means if I pack up and move and go somewhere else, unless I've had further revelation from the Lord in my life, I'm not perfect and complete in God's will for my life. And that breaks down to the things that we do every day, right? It's not just the big picture, what state am I in, as in Washington State. whatever state you're in, you're supposed to be content, all right? But whatever it is, it's not just the place, or it's not just these big general terms, but God has very much specific things for you in your life. And he has those things, and we can be perfect and complete in all of the will of God for our life. We're not perfect as sinless, but we can be perfect and complete. We can hear the message this morning You can hear the message this morning. I've already heard it. You can hear the message this morning, and the Lord can deal with you about something. And then guess what? If he deals with you about something, the best time to handle that is right after the message is over, is the best time to handle that. Sometimes the best time to handle that is during the message. Sometimes it's during a song. Sometimes it's all kinds of times the Lord deals with you. And there's some times you need to get things taken care of. And say, what's the best time? Right when the Lord deals with you, right at the end of the message, when there's a quiet time to be able to talk to the Lord, that's the perfect time to be able to handle it. Say, Lord, now you've shown me this, and I want to live for you, and I want to walk in your will, and I want to be as best I can, be perfect and complete in your will. And Lord, so I want to get this taken care of. I want to handle this. I want to, if you have to do something more after you're done praying, then sometimes you do. Sometimes you have to go to somebody, and you have to get something right, because that's how God deals with it. Sometimes it's other things, and boy, God's given you something to do, and he's laid a burden on your heart, and he's set you in his path, and he's put something. And unless you're doing that thing, you're not in the perfect and complete in the will of God, but you can be. Paul says, hey, for those of us that are perfect, for those of us that are doing exactly what we should, he says, hey, we should be thus minded. We should have the same mind as what I was just saying. Those of us that are perfect. Look in 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy 3, verse 15. Of course, Paul, writing the letter to Timothy, his son in the faith, he says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Kind of sounds like what a preacher is supposed to be doing. Verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. It comes from Scripture. Say, how do we know how to be perfect in Christ and what His will is, and how to be perfect and complete? Through the Word of God, through Scripture. That's how we can know that the man of God may be perfect. How am I going to overcome sin? Through the Word of God. How am I going to do what God wants me to do? How am I going to have the strength to do what the Lord wants me to do? Through the Word of God. How am I going to know what God wants me to do? Through the Word of God. How am I going to be able to make all the right decisions when the Bible doesn't say anything specifically about what the decision I need to make? Through the Word of God. Say, but I just said that the Bible doesn't say specifically what I should do in that situation. Yes, but the Word of God will lead and guide and direct you through the Holy Spirit of God to know what to do. Now, there's sometimes that things come up in life and the Lord doesn't seem to have given me an answer. And sometimes those things can be time sensitive. And so, you know what I do? I say, okay, Lord, now I need an answer. And you know the deadline's coming. This is no secret to you. And I need an answer on this thing. But I haven't perceived that you've given me an answer. Now, if I haven't perceived it and that's on me, then I want to hear from you. You have to give it to me again. Because if you gave it to me once and I missed it, I'm asking for you to give it to me again. But if I don't think that you've given me an answer, from the Word of God, here's the best, most intelligent, most spiritual decision that I can make on my own based on what I know. And if you don't tell me to do otherwise, then I'm going to have to do this thing. I'm just going to go forward with this thing that I think is right, according to your Word. Now, don't lie to him, because he'll know if you're lying to him. This is what I really want to do. That's what's going on inside. This is what I really want to do, and if you don't stop me, Lord, if you really don't stop me, if it's not like with a bullet, then I'm going to do this thing that I want to do, Lord, and I'm asking you to bless it. I'm not talking about that craziness, because that's crazy, especially the bigger decisions get. It's saying, Lord, I have a time frame. I need to make a decision. I don't know what you want me to do, but if you don't tell me what to do very plainly, this is the best thing that I know to do, and this is what I am going to do if I don't get any clear direction from you. And the Lord's faithful. The Lord's faithful to speak to you. And the Lord's faithful to help you, to know what to do. But it's going to come through the Word of God. It's going to come through the peace of the Word of God. It's going to come through the Holy Spirit, the preaching of the Word of God. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter number 13. 2 Corinthians 13. 13:11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. He says, be perfect. Well, how do you do that? Well, you be perfect as the best you can. The best that you can, you walk with the Lord, you try to be perfect in His will, you try to be complete in His will, you try to fight sin, you try to stay away from all those things. And He says, be perfect. Be perfect. Live the best that you can. That's all the Lord asks of us. The Lord asks us to be faithful. And the Lord asks us to do the best we can. And I understand our best falls far short of ultimate perfection. Often. But the Lord says, be faithful. Paul says, be perfect. And that's all the Lord desires of you. Philippians chapter number 3, verse number 15. Philippians 3:15, Paul says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. So he says, those of you that are walking after the Lord and you're striving to be as close to the Lord as you can, he says, be thus minded. What is thus minded? Well, thus minded is verse 13 and 14. I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm going forward. for the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, as many as perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. If your mind is anywhere else other than that, then God's going to reveal things to you. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit of God reveals things to me. I'm thankful that we don't serve a large corporate God that just speaks in generalities, but He's a Holy Spirit that is inside of us that speaks individually to us. And far beyond the scope of what any preacher can possibly ever know, the Holy Spirit of God deals on an individual level. So how does it work? Well, the preacher knows that Sunday is coming up and he has to preach at least once. Sunday school, it could be Sunday school, it could be Sunday morning, it could be Sunday night. But Sunday is coming, regardless of if a preacher is ready or not. And he's going to have to get up there and say something. And he's going to want it to make sense, and he's going to want it to be from the Lord. So Sunday is done, and you go, and Monday comes along, and you're like, well, I don't know what happened yesterday, but that's the best I had. And then you start thinking, Sunday's coming up. Before that, you're like, Thursday's coming up, right? But if you're in a series like I am, you're like, all right, I know Thursday, number five, it's coming up, number five. Thursday night, Bible Numerics, number five. But you're thinking Sunday's coming up. And you this is sitting on the desk, and you say, this is a really big book, Lord. There's so many things in here. There's so many different things that could be preached. And so the Lord, through the leading of in the reading of His Word, or through the leading of some different things, or the peace of God, and the Lord gives a message for the people to hear. Now, sometimes you might think of a message and go, oh, I know a couple people that this is going to help. Because you might know a couple things that are going on in some people's lives and have some inside information or just general information that you know, prayer requests or whatever it might be. And you're getting ready for that. And so, but you really don't know, you can't have one topic, one title, one message every Sunday that could possibly be what everybody needs. But that's where the Holy Spirit comes into play. And so you preach a message and someone can come up to you afterwards and say, boy, what a blessing. I've been going through this thing and the Lord spoke to me about that through your message. That was a blessing. And someone else might say, man, there was something else and this other thing. And boy, I was thinking of this while you were saying that. And boy, that was a blessing. And sometimes you get done as a preacher and you go, wow, I didn't really know I was that good. I didn't know I could possibly preach on seven different things in one message that I didn't mention any of those seven things. Wow, how did that even happen? Well, of course, you know how it happens. Of course, as a preacher, that's the magic of the whole thing. And I say magic meaning that's the Lord of the whole thing. You preach this, and I'll take care of it. Okay, Lord. Now, you can't just preach anything. Like, the Holy Spirit has to use it. But you preach, and the Holy Spirit of God does what the Holy Spirit of God does to those that are there when you're in your place with the right heart and the right attitude, and you're there to hear the preaching, and you're there to receive the preaching with an open heart. The Holy Spirit of God moves and speaks through the preacher that's up here often just preaching an outline that the Lord has given him to preach, and the Holy Spirit of God moves in us. What's He do? He reveals things in our lives. You've all been there. The message is on Bible reading, and you got something on prayer. The message was on prayer, and you're like, I need to witness more. I need to cut this sin out of my life. What did it have to do with prayer? Nothing. But the Holy Spirit of God moves and guides and directs through His Word and speaks to us when we're where we need to be, doing what we need to be doing. And so that's why it's unfortunate. The less that you're here, the less you get to hear from the Holy Spirit of God. The more that you hear, the more direction and guidance and the things that come from the Lord and speak to you. And so what happens? God reveals things through the Holy Spirit. Look in Daniel chapter number 2. Daniel chapter 2. So Daniel chapter 2, this is where Nebuchadnezzar has a dream, and he can't remember the dream and doesn't know what the dream means, and he goes to all of his men and he says, okay, tell me what the dream means, tell me what the dream is, and then tell me what the dream means. And they're like, we can't do that. We can't do this thing. But in verse number 25, I like the line that says, in verse chapter 2, verse 25, in the middle of the verse, it says, I have found a man. I have found a man of the captives of Judah. That's a good saying, I have found a man. Of course, that man is in Christ Jesus, but God uses men. Look in verse number 28. Daniel says in 27, the secret, the kingdom man, cannot the wise men. 28, but there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. So what's he saying? He's saying that the Lord is going to be the one to reveal, look in verse 29, the second half of the verse, and he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. Look over in verse 47. And the king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal this secret. What happens? God's the one. God knows. God knows what's going on in your heart. There might be things, there might be things weighing you down that you haven't told anybody about, but God. And God knows. And there might be things weighing you down nobody knows anything about, but yet God can give you what you need because he's the one that reveals things. He's the one that knows. Look in Matthew chapter number 11. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11:25. At that time Jesus answered and said, he's speaking in parables in the chapter here, and he says, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemeth good in thy sight. Things are revealed through God, through the Son of God. We see that in verse 27 as well, who the Son will reveal him. But God's the one that reveals things. And God's the one that does it. Look in Galatians chapter number 1. Galatians 1 verse 15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Paul says, when I understood that God was going to use me to reveal himself to others, he said, then I didn't go ask anybody about it. I knew what I needed to do. I need to get alone with God. Why? Because not only does God reveal himself to you, but sometimes God will reveal himself through us. And where God will use man to reveal himself to other men. That's why we're to take the gospel and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because men's eyes can be opened when God uses us to preach Christ and will be revealed. Look in Ephesians chapter number 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Yes, God through the Holy Spirit can reveal himself through the Holy Spirit, through the preaching, through the reading of the word, through prayer. God will reveal himself, but he also uses us to reveal himself. Ephesians chapter number 3, verse number 1. For this cause, this is Paul kind of elaborating on the phrase we just read in Galatians. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. by the gospel. Paul says, listen, there's been given to me, dispensation is to dispense, there's been given to me the grace of God to have revealed the gospel that is now revealed to his apostles and prophets to then preach unto you the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says it was revealed. Now, you can take that on a smaller scale. The Lord, in certain things, might open my eyes in the Scriptures or draw attention to certain things in the Scriptures, and I come as a preacher and teacher and present that to do what? To reveal Christ to you in the way that the Holy Spirit uses that and then works in your heart. Not reveal as in brand new, like, oh, I found something that no one else in history has ever known. not revealed like Paul, who was given the revelations of God and what he calls the mysteries of God. But you can understand God uses men to reveal to mankind, and God can use you to reveal to others. Here, he says, his promise in Christ by the gospel. By the gospel. That's why there's a responsibility. There's a responsibility on us as individuals to give the gospel. Why? Because the Lord reveals himself through men and through the gospel. And reveals himself. You know what happens? The way God operates is if someone's seeking God and they're saying, Lord, and they don't have, they might not have a Bible, they might not have church background or anything, and they're searching for truth, they're searching between them and God. God, I want to be right with you. I want to fear you and worship you. Fearing is a Bible term specifically for the Gentiles, but to fear God. And I want to live according to you. You know what the Lord's going to do? He's going to send something, a person, to reveal the gospel unto them. Whether it's by a tract passed out, or whether it's somebody preaching on the radio or on the television, or whether it's somebody, a co-worker, or what it's going to be, God is going to reveal himself to them by the truth of Jesus Christ, often by means of not special revelation in angels, but by man. But by men. And that's why it's important for us to be aware, what does the Lord want me to do with the gospel? You ever been standing at a gas station and you're just minding your own business and you see someone, the Lord's like, oh, give them a tract. And you're like, oh, the gas station is not the place. Or whatever other excuse goes through your mind. Why does that happen? It's probably because the Lord wants you at that moment, at that time, to use you to give the gospel, to reveal the gospel unto somebody. He's using you to do it because you don't know what's going on. That person's just like you, sitting there pumping gas, trying not to make eye contact with other people pumping gas. Right, okay, look over here, look over there, look around. You know, there's nothing like pumping gas and then like you're staring off into oblivion and then someone looks at you like, what? You're like, oh, hi, sorry. And then you can't explain that you're just staring off into nothingness like you're a lunatic. You know what I mean? You can't do that. You're just, oh, hi, we're done with the gas, I guess, you know. But you're trying to, what the Lord desires to use you to reveal himself to others. And that's what the Lord does. Not everyone's going to walk through those doors and come into church. He uses us. But the Lord is the one that reveals. And Paul says that if you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. He's going to reveal unto you what he wants for you, the responsibilities he has for you, what he desires for you. He's going to reveal those things unto you. What should we be doing? We should have the mindset, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in God of God in Christ Jesus. I'm going to go forward for Christ until he comes back or until I don't have any more breath in my lungs. And then I'll be standing before him. Let's go ahead and take a break this morning before the main service.